Yep, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, fantastic. All right, welcome everybody. It's so nice to have you all here. I believe we have a big crowd, so we're really honored to be here today and to do this presentation to you. My name is Karen Boskemper, and I work together with Carly in the mentor coaching group. So it's a 5 to 6 month mentor coaching program that's designed to support coaches who are preparing for their ACC, PCC, MCC, or doing their renewals. Besides mentor coaching and being an ICF assessor, I also do executive coaching, leadership development, some group and team coaching, and sort of in general in the space of leadership development. As you can tell, I'm not American, although I'm starting to sound a little bit American. Originally, I'm from England, but I grew up in Germany and South Africa, and I've been here in the United States now for 24 years. So I live just outside of Washington, D.C. Used to live in Southern California, close to Cali, but now we're each on different coasts. So, Carly, would you like to introduce yourself now or later?
Sure, I'll just say hi. Yeah. And yes, I'm originally from Australia, have lived here in the United States for 15 years now and married to an American coach. And live in Southern California, where it rained yesterday with thunder and lightning, as some of you heard earlier. I'm very happy. I'm halfway between Los Angeles and San Diego, and really happy to be here with you all. I had the good fortune of being in Denmark about 3 or 4 years ago, and I wish I had time to go to all of your beautiful countries, but plan to do that again sometime. But really happy to be here. Yeah, I coach in the executive environment as well. That's the sort of place that I like to coach, besides mentoring coaches around the world toward their credentials. So, welcome. Just a reminder for those of you who haven't muted yourself, just put yourself on mute until you want to share, otherwise we'll individually mute some of you. But if you could do it yourself, that would be great. Especially if you're moving papers, we can hear that. I'm going to go down and mute a few people here. So Karen, you can continue on. I'm going to...
Okay, great. So today, and I am actually going to, if it's okay, put my video off because the screen, the videos of everybody is actually in my screen. So while I'm talking, I'll put my video off and then come back on again, just so that you know, because otherwise it's distorting my screen. All right. So today's program is called the Target Approach. This is an approach that Carly, after years and years of working with the ICF as an assessor, developed this approach to look at the core competencies in a different way. We know they're very linear, and she'll be talking about that, or at least they're listed in a linear fashion, but that's not how we coach. And so she's going to take us through this target approach that she developed, which when I started going for my PCC really helped me so much in how to coach and what to focus on and how to use the ICF core competencies in a way that was more organic and more natural in the way we coach. So today, the objectives for today is just, we're going to start off by learning the key distinctions between ACC, PCC, and MCC. We'll be primarily focusing on PCC and MCC today, but we do just want to give that quick overview of what that difference is between when we're assessing what we're really listening for. Then you'll have a new perspective on how to view the 11 core competencies and their application. You'll have a better idea of which competencies to focus on to significantly improve your coaching skills. We will also be having a live demonstration. So Carly is going to give us a wonderful treat as an MCC coach to give us a live demonstration applying the target approach methodology. And for that, we will need somebody who would be willing to be coached live in a little bit. So when we get to that stage, I will ask if there's a volunteer who would be willing to do that. If you are able to volunteer, we ask that for this purpose, because it's a 25 to 30 minute session, that you focus on something that isn't too broad. So for instance, a topic that would be too broad would be, well, you know, how do I solve world hunger? Well, we can't, you know, do that in 30 minutes, but what we could accomplish maybe is a much smaller goal of, well, what can I do to contribute to this issue of world hunger? There's something there that for me to do. So something that is manageable within 30 minutes. And we'll come back to you and ask for a volunteer. And then, and then just give you some insights and understand how we as ICF assessors assess the quality of the coaching. So it's not just about the technique, but it's also the underlying fabric and quality of the coaching that we're listening to. So that's what we are going to cover today. So let's start off. I'm going to go ahead and just talk a little bit about the distinction between ACC, PCC, and MCC level coaching. And at its foundation, it's the difference between coaching the what and the who. So at ACC level, the coach's role is much more of a doer, and the coach approaches the session in a sort of more linear, step-by-step manner, focused on the client's agenda, and primarily what is the problem that needs to be solved. And so the coach's role is more that of being in partnership with the client as a problem solver. And that's focusing on what the problem is. When we move into PCC level coaching, here the coach now starts to act sort of as a partial partner to the client and starts to integrate and also to pay attention to who the client is. And when I say the who of the client, we mean what their strengths are, what the client's beliefs are, their habits, their needs, their wants, and even just in general how they view the world. And so the coach not only focuses on the agenda, but also sort of looks at, well, what does the client want to accomplish in the session? What are some of the underlying issues? You know, the reason why a client usually comes to us with an issue is because there's something in the way that's keeping them from getting what they want. And so here we start sort of having this equal balance between focusing on strengths, beliefs, and how the client operates and what the solution to their problem is. Then when we move into MCC level, now we are really acting as a more integrated partner, and we are completely connected to the whole of the client. So who the client is, we're coaching in the space of their thinking, we're coaching in the space of their feeling, and who they are being in the world. And so we're sort of dancing with the client in helping them get new perspectives of how they make meaning in their world, how they view their situation, what their feelings are, what their emotions are, how that's influencing it. So it's a much, much deeper connection. And from coaching from that place, the what to do next comes organically. So by exploring with the client and exploring themselves in how they operate and who they are, they naturally come to what's next for them. And it's less of focused on a problem than more focused on how they need to operate and how they need to engage in order to move forward. So I want to pause for a minute and see if there are any questions about the distinction of ACC, PCC, and MCC. I'll put my video on to see. Does anybody have any questions? If not, I'll just move along. Okay, good. And let me move along. Oops, nope, sorry. Yes, no, I'm sorry, that is right. Yes, Carly, you're up. Sorry, I was all so excited about, you know, diving in, and here you are. You're next.
Thank you. So Karen just gave you the distinctions. For those who are using your handout, you'll notice that we've given you a place. So, you know, the ACC is focusing on the what, PCC is what plus who, MCC focuses first on who, and the what comes out of that. And we'll be going more into that as we go through some of these core competencies. So many of you are probably familiar with the ICF core competencies presented as a list like this, 1 to 11. And oftentimes what we find is coaches feel like that's the way they need to approach them, as a list. And it's not how in real life the core competencies work. And so what I thought I'd do is, look at how does this, what's the most important core competency out of this? And how does that core competency then inform everything else? And so if you've been thinking about it, because we asked on the handout, you know, what do you believe are the most important competencies and why? Some people will say the coaching agreement. You know, others will say listening. Others will say questions. Some will say presence, you know, as well. And so I thought I'd let you know how I see it, and also it fits with, again, the who, starting with the who. So Karen, do you mind going to the next slide? So the idea of, and just click again, there we go. So I've taken the 11 core competencies and split them into three different categories. They're different because they're skills. Some of them are skills, and so I call those the target, they really are the core of the core competencies. So in a moment I'm going to just overview some of that, a little bit about each of those core competencies. And then there are two that I consider more application competencies, and then there are four that are a result, they're output competencies, and I'll explain those as we go. So let's move to the next. So from observing what happens with us coaches, the target approach is coaching presence. And coaching presence is the ability to create spontaneous relationship with your client, to be in the moment, to be present. And this isn't really an ongoing learning and discovery as to what does it mean to be present. If you speak over the client, you're not possibly not present. You're in the future. If you interrupt the client at any time with a thought, you're not present. You are present. You're present to your thoughts more to your than your clients. So interrupting a client or not allowing a lot of space for the client is often an indicator that we are more engaged in our thoughts and what we think than we are being present to the client. So first and foremost, we do need to be aware of our own what's going on inside of us. Our presence is informed by our culture, our background, our training as coaches, and all sorts of influences about what we think and believe we need to do to be an effective coach. And we need to be continually questioning whether that is true or not. So if you believe that you need to make sure the client gets a result by the end of the session, you will coach differently than if you think, my job is to help the client find and their self-knowledge first to figure out what they already know that they may not be in touch with or using, and then let's figure out what else they need in order to move forward in the ways that they want. So you coach differently if you believe the client has a lot of self-knowledge, that your job is to help them excavate, you know, dive into and get in touch with. Now, the other thing in the middle you'll see is ethics. Right in the middle, I consider that ethics goes there as well, because ethics means we know what coaching is and what coaching isn't. There are other types of modalities. A lot of coaches, we come from training or teaching, or some from therapy backgrounds, consulting. So we bring those modalities into our coaching. it's okay to do that in certain ways and times in our coaching, especially at the beginning of a coaching engagement. There's much more of a consultative if you do assessments, if you do personal interviews, which is my preference always with around a client, and you are doing more of a consultative aspect. When you allow the client to determine what to do with that information, now you're moving into the coaching. So being able to discern from an ethical perspective, am I coaching, am I training, am I teaching, am I a therapist, what am I doing, informs your presence. Next slide. And from your presence, as you're listening, is how you listen. And as I said, if you think your job is to help the client get a result and have a plan and specific actions by the end of every session, that's where your listening will be. It'll be for how to move the client forward with actions. And that's going to be different listening than if you're listening for who the client is, which is how do they do things? How have they been successful? Where else are they successful? What did they do to become successful? That's a different listening. And I think we'll talk maybe a bit later, but maybe I'll bring it in now. The PCC markers, for those of you who are aware, they've been out now nearly two and a half years. The PCC markers give a lot of great evidence, a lot of great information specifically about each of these competencies. And for those of you moving toward MCC as well, they're a great foundation. They are foundational to good MCC skill level coaching. So study them, practice them, integrate them, try them out. And a lot of the PCC markers in active listening, you know, they talk about the who, not just the what. So I've just got my printout here. And so, you know, things in active listening to listen for are things like, what does the client mean by certain words and language that they use? What emotions are you noticing? And this is especially important at MCC, is listening for client emotional contents. The client turns up to the session and says, I've got so much on and I feel in overwhelm and I don't know where to start. And you keep working with them and you say, well, what do you want by the end of the session? Well, I want a plan to get out of the overwhelm. Well, the plan is the what. The who is, well, how do you relate to overwhelm? How does overwhelm inform the type of plans that you create? How would you like to address overwhelm as part of your plan? You know, so you have to be paying attention to that just as much as, if not actually more, than you would the what content. What do I want? I want a plan. I want and some action, some steps. Of course, most clients will say that. That's easy. The thing is, what type of attitude or mindset or beliefs are they bringing? So you have to listen for, as Karen said earlier, the whole person of the client. Next slide. So from your listening, the next slide here shows that the rung outside of that is your questions are informed by your listening. What type of questions do you ask? Are you asking more about how do you do that? How did you become successful? What keeps you from being in the present? What has you feel so overwhelmed? Your questions will come from a different place, but depending on your listening. And then direct communication is everything other than questions, but it also involves how succinct, direct, and clear you are. How much client language you use, so using client language, this is where metaphor fits. We're using client analogies. So if the client talks about, I feel like I've hit a brick wall right now with this. Okay, so brick wall is client language. So you could ask them more about that. You know, how do you approach a brick wall when you hit one? You can have fun. Actually, lightness and being fun can be really helpful to a client, can lighten them up. So direct communication is everything other than questions, but it is involved also in how succinct, direct you are with how you ask the questions. So let me pause there. That's the target. I just want to check, how does this resonate, or you know, how is this landing, I guess, with some of you? Would love some feedback on anything you've noticed.
Well, Astrid here, it lands pretty well, I think. I think it makes very much sense what you're saying about the presence, about how to address the what. And well, I'm a PCC coach, so I'm very interested in the who, of course. I think it makes sense. I'm listening, and it's interesting.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Astrid. Anyone have any questions or comments?
Hi, this is Magnus.
Hi, Magnus.
Hi. I think this is very developing for me, so I'm really happy about the distinctions you do here. So thanks so far.
Okay, good. Is there anything particular that you feel you're ready to develop?
Well, it's more like I can recognize what I'm doing already, in the sense that you put words on it. So the way you define active listening, for instance, copying the language of the client, which is very important, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Excellent.
Stop with that for the moment.
Thank you. Well, we'll continue on, and then we're going to the coaching is going to sort of help you listen in different ways, and so we'll move on just now to some of the other things within the core, the target approach. I mentioned now that there were two application competencies. And if you think about it, the coaching agreement and planning and goal setting, they're not skills. You know, if you think about listening, powerful questioning, direct communication in particular, and your presence is different again, but it's the establishing the coaching agreement is a structure. It's an application. So if you don't know how to follow the client's path, and Karen, I think you have some good metaphors here. Do you want to say something about how you describe the coaching agreement, or do you want me to?
Yeah. So I describe it a little bit as either a compass. So in other words, the client comes in and says, and you say, hey, where do you want to go today? And the client says, well, I want to go north. Well, then the coaching agreement becomes your compass. So, you know, it can help you. It's sort of like the handrails to help you stay on track. And so if I don't know exactly in a coaching agreement where the client wants to go and what they want to achieve, then I can have a good discussion, but I'm not sure I've given the client what they want. And so I really see it as my job as a coach to really be clear about what it is that the client is paying me for. And the other analogy I use is that if the client comes and says, here, Karen, here's, you know, $100, I want to go to Texas, then I better be, you know, by the end of the session, he better be in Texas, because otherwise he's paid me for something that I didn't deliver. And so for me, it's that sort of that guide of, am I giving the client value that they really want? And it's my job to find out what that is.
Yeah, that's great. And of course, sometimes our clients want to change directions when they've started out in one direction. They want to go somewhere else. And our job is to really partner with them. And partnering is a key concept in presence. And, you know, letting the client choose. So you might notice the client's now talking about now they want to get on a plane. And instead, they don't just want to go to Texas. They want to go somewhere else. And so you can inquire and find out. You know, when you started out wanting to go to Texas, now it seems like you want to get on a plane and go overseas. How do they relate? So MCC skill level would say, how do they relate? ACC or PCC would say, which one do you want to choose? And if the client says they don't relate, that's fine. Let the client choose, but don't choose for them. So that's just another distinction for those who are moving towards the mastery level. And establishing the coaching agreement, think of it as knowing where do they want to go and how do they know that they'll they're going to get there. So what would tell them that they are there? So do they want to take the highways, or do they want to take, you know, the scenic path route around? And so you want to establish how they'll know that they've had a good session. And they're all different things that we already have. There's a whole product I've got on establishing the coaching agreement. There's a lot more to it, but just know that essentially you need to know, where does the client want to go? What's their true north? Or if they want to go west or south, then you better know how to follow them to that. And then the other part is planning and goal setting is the bigger picture. If you think of every coaching, I mean, you wouldn't start out building a business without saying, well, where's our destination? And a lot of coaching too, of course, you need to know, what's the client's destination? Overall, where do they want to end up? Well, they want to be an international traveler. They don't just want to end up in Texas. They do want to have this experience of being an international traveler. And so within that, today they want to talk about how they're going to get to Texas. And then they next time they talk about how do they get on a plane and go, you know, to Sweden. And it's a completely different thing, but all in the context of they want to become an international traveler. So the planning and goal setting is having a plan, understanding what the client's goals are, and then each coaching session, besides knowing the part of it, of course, of establishing a coaching agreement is an ethical thing as well, which is, what are the rules? You know, for instance, one of my rules is calling in from your car driving while we're coaching. That's a no for me. It's an absolute no. If a client does that sometimes, I'll say, okay, are you able to pull over? Because I don't feel safe with you driving and me. And because sometimes I will ask you questions that will require deeper reflection, and I'm not wanting to take your attention off the road. I don't care whether your hand's free or not, even. I'm not going to do it. So it's for safety for a client, but it's also my concern that they be safe and that they can actually use me best as a coach. So for me, that is part of my coaching agreement from the written perspective or verbal understanding and written, which is different than every coaching session. You have an agreement for the client. And overall, where does this fit in their overall goals for your coaching over the period of time that they've contracted you? And even in volunteer situation, pro bono, you should know where the client wants to go. So that's the first two. Karen, over to you.
Yeah,
anyway.
I took a breath. Yeah. You know, one of the things for those of you who are familiar and are working with the PCC markers, Carly said earlier that they really are the foundation for really great MCC coaching. And the two markers, particularly in the establishing the coaching agreement, that help you get to the who of the client is the marker number three, which is coach explores what is important or meaningful to the client about what she wants to accomplish. So meaning, why is it important? That's at a deeper level, understanding the client, what it is and why they want it. And then also marker number four, coach helps the client define what the client believes he or she needs to address or resolve in order to achieve what she wants. So again, by addressing what's in the way, there might be fear, there might be overwhelm. Those are all who things of the client, how the client is relating to the issue that they're bringing to the session. So those two marks. And I think you've had that experience too, Carly, haven't you, once you started really honing in on those?
Yeah, I found once the PCC markers came out a couple of years ago, and these two that Karen mentioned are part of the coaching agreement markers, I started really using them in my coaching more consciously. So right now, if the client's talking about wanting to travel a lot, you know, how come now? You know, what's causing this to be a priority now? So that's what's important to you. It's like understanding what's changed or what's shifted. And the other thing is, what do you think we'd need to address or resolve in order for you to get the plan or the outcome that you want today? often gets to the who. I'm surprised how often the client will say, like in a context of the company, a corporate environment, I'll ask that question and my client will say something like, well, I want my team to be more productive. And I'll say, so what do you think we'd need to address for you to have your team be more productive? And they'll say, I don't really like delegating and I have doubt that they can, my team, I don't have confidence in them to actually do the job as well as me. Oh, okay. So now we might even ask more questions that might help us understand that this is not actually about the team being more effective. It's what do I need to shift in me, or what has to happen in my behavior in order for me to trust my team? So it's a completely different thing. So play with those questions. They're who questions, and they also can take you into a broader context. Mm. Yeah, great, Karen.
All right. So then the last four competencies, and that's sort of the question on your if you have your handout, which competencies are a result or output of engaging with the core competencies? It's these four. It's establishing trust and intimacy, creating awareness, designing actions, and managing progress and accountability. And so again, if we just look very briefly at the distinctions between PCC and MCC, when we look at trust and intimacy at the PCC level, we're really creating safety in the session. So it's like a safety space, a comfort with, there's a sort of a level of comfort between coach and client, but it's still a little bit more focused on sort of the what and the who. At MCC level, we hear a deeper connection. So there's a deeper level of trust and respect for the client's being and their humanity, because that's the realm that we're coaching in. You know, when you're coaching around the client's thinking and feeling and being, there's a deeper connection and trust that can result from that. And you can and that's in the quality of the coaching that you can really hear that. So again, PCC, you create safety and comfort, and at MCC, you're really developing that deeper trust and respect for the client's humanity. Next one, creating awareness. So here, one of the things about creating awareness is that we're always working towards creating awareness, but it's not something that we can manufacture. Awareness is going to come from your presence, the listening that you're doing. I'm sorry, something just popped up on my screen. I apologize. I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, from the listening that you're doing.
Oh, from the listening. Thank you, Carly. From the listening that you're doing, from the questions that you're asking and how you're being with the client. And so that's going to create awareness. And one of the things that a lot at PCC that we see a lot of more is that a lot of coaches will ask about action items at the end of the session, which is great. At MCC level, that piece is sort of more integrated into as you're going through the coaching. So for instance, we know that if a client says something like, huh, that's a good question, that means that there's some awareness that's starting to emerge for the client. So that's the time for us to be silent, to let the client process. And when the client has come up with, oh, I can see this and this, that's the time then to move into designing actions. So you can do it right there. You don't have to wait until the end of the session, because we know from neuroscience that we are primed, that when we have an insight, that's when we are most primed to take action. So from at the MCC level, that can happen at the very beginning. And even at PCC, once you're aware of it, you can start, as soon as the client has those moments of awareness, you can start shifting them into designing actions. And the designing actions at the PCC level might again be more linear. What are you going to do? What steps are you going to take? Whereas designing actions on the MCC level is might include, well, what thinking are you going to do around that? What reflection are you going to make? So it's more about, again, that internal working with the client in what they're going to do. Let's see. And then the last one is, of course, management progress and accountability. So again, at the PCC level, we're asking the client about who can help you or what can support you. You know, the SUM partnership, where the coach helps the client set some accountability for themselves. At the MCC level, again, the coach really trusts that the client knows how to be accountable for themselves. So the client will be in full partnership, and that the client really determines their own methods of accountability, and they come naturally from the coaching and from the conversation that they've had. And the coach also also trusts that the client will follow through. And so at PCC level, again, we might say, well, you know, who can support you with that? And how will I know that you've done that? Or how will you hold yourself accountable? Whereas at the MCC level, there's that deeper trust with the client, that the client is going to knows what they need to do and is going to pull in the resources and the people around them in order to get done what they set out to do. So, Carly, anything in addition to that?
Yeah, I think that was prompted me with the managing progress and accountability to say that what you're listening for is the client's congruence with their actions. Mm. And so if the clients, when you ask them, so what are you doing with the out of what we've talked about today? What feels right for you to actually take some action on? If you ask the client that and they talk about different things, you're listening for their congruence. Does it sound like they have energy for that? So the accountability piece, you might inquire more. When you talked about doing that, I sensed some hesitation. It didn't sound like you're really committed to that. I just want to check with you if that's the case. And the client sometimes might, I just need to think it through. Okay, so what, if anything, do you need in order to help you think this through? And then I go, oh, you know, I need to speak with, so okay, I'll speak with this person. So it's an organic process. So there's still specific things that are being sort of said. The client may come up with specific things, but you're really listening from a holistic, energetic to how they talk about their actions, how they talk about what they're going to do. And then the other thing is with MCC, because I know we were asked, and the reason why we are highlighting this is to really address more senior mastery in coaching. So that's why we keep going there, is that you really want to be more of a partner in terms of noticing the who. And so what that might be is the client talks earlier about not trusting their team members, and they've talked about different ways that they're going to work with their own level of building that trust. There may be physical things they need to do with their team, but there may also be internal things. And they might not have talked about any particular action. So you could inquire. It's not tell them what to do. It's inquire. You could say, you mentioned earlier that you want to be able to trust your team more. I'm wondering if there's anything you want to experiment with around this area of trust. See what the client says. So it's more of the who that you might inquire about as well, as part of designing actions, and then you're listening for how the client responds as to whether you go deeper with follow-up questions to help them think through how, who, what, where, when. That's what I want to say.
Great.
Thanks.
So I want to pause and see if there are any questions or comments.
Yes, this is Magnus. Could you please... take once again establishing trust, the difference between PCC and MCC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the PCC, you're creating safety for the client, safety to speak up, to express themselves, but there's still a little bit more of a focus on what the client wants, and there's some partial partnership there. At the MCC level, you're going a level deeper into really, really trusting the client, and because you're working at a different level with the client, you're working in the realm of their thinking, their feelings, and their beliefs. There is, when the client allows you to coach them in that space, there's a deeper trust and connection that happens than when you're just at PCC potentially coaching the who and the what. So there's just a different level of trust there.
Yes, I understand that is a different level of trust, and I'm still curious about. So what you're saying here is that you're actually asking them or inquiring about their strengths, beliefs, and thinking. Is that it? The difference here?
Yeah, let me just comment on that. Yeah, it's a good question, Magnus. The difference for me is what Karen's talking about. The safety is, and then the deeper trust comes in the type of content that you pay attention to. I've written something on 10 characteristics of MCC skill level, and one of the characteristics is dealing with emotional content, both the light and the shadow. It's actually wording from the core competency comparisons table, but it's, you really are more diving into, as Karen said earlier, the humanity of the client. Emotional content often requires the coach to have done a lot of their own work to be okay with the client having a range of emotions that they want to discuss. For those of you who've done emotional intelligence profiles, they're very useful for understanding your own emotions and also how to work with client emotions. So a lot of the time, the client coach is also much more open to the humanity, as Karen said earlier, of the client as well. So your clients are not just trying to get more results. They want to feel good about themselves and their lives as they're doing it. And that's an underlying belief, I think, that you have as a sort of more sort of master level coach. It's that the client wants to feel happy, feel good. And sometimes life doesn't feel good. And so if the client is angry and resentful, help them connect with that, and then what do they want? What can they do with that? How is that useful for them? How does that show up in their life? What do they do when they feel that? How does that inform what they then do in this situation? So there's also something called expanded learning, and so you're very much more okay with the client being willing to, you provide the space where the client is willing to share and you're willing to ask those questions about, especially about their emotional content.
So a basic question could be then, how do you feel about that?
That is a PCC skill level question, or an ACC. How do you feel about that? It's more, what emotion are you experiencing in this moment as you think about creating, trusting your team? You see, it's like more specific. How do you feel about that is general. It's the general concept. Now you want to customize it and be very much more about, you know, like in the moment, the client might be taking a big deep sigh. So, and you might go, okay, what was, that was a big sigh. What was that? And the client might go, oh, I don't know, I'm exhausted from trying things. Okay, so that could be their emotional content, exhaustion. Okay, so how do you usually act when you're exhausted in situations like this? Or what happens for you in your life when you're exhausted? Some clients might get more energy and move through it. Others might, you know, I need rest. So it's more use that as a starting point question and customize. Everything's customized at mastery level.
Okay, I agree. Could I ask another question?
Yes, and then we'll do the demonstration. Maybe that will help.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were talking about what versus who, and how do you think about? I sometimes feel it's useful to ask the what in order to get to the who. I mean, what do you want to do? Well, I want to go to Hawaii. So, what's in it for you? Or why is that important to you? Then in getting to the who, but just into getting into that change from the who directly to the what and then the who.
Yeah. So the other thing is questions that start with what are not what questions. They could be what or who, and I'm not sure if that's what you were saying, but yeah, I mean, what do you usually do when people don't respond to your emails? That could be a what and a who. How do you act or how do you react when you don't get a response from your boss? That could get you more into the who. So a what question, starting with a what, it's what comes after that. But how questions, Karen and I have written an article, I wrote an article recently, but Karen and I really got excited by one of our mentoring clients in the group coaching. She used, when she was coaching, we have non-coach clients who have had no coach training as our clients in our group mentoring portion of our mentoring program. And she used a lot of how questions. Very effective. And in fact, if you go to carlianderson.com and to the blog, you'll see the power of using how questions is an article that came out of that. So a lot of how questions will get to the who, but how do you do that could be a what question. You know, how do you get things done versus how do you respond when people don't get things done on a timeline? See, that's the differences. Play with and experiment with, and we do a lot of case study and practice and experimenting with expanding your repertoire of types of questions as well.
Yeah, but I mean, you use both of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, great, great questions. Thank you.
Great. Okay, so we want to go over for to the coaching demonstration, and I want to check if we have a volunteer who would like some coaching, some master certified coaching from Carly today.
Well, you'll get some coaching, and I'll do my best.
Yes. I'm putting pressure on you, aren't I? Yes, yes, that's true. So anybody who would like to have some coaching, who would be willing to step up?
Astrid is here, and I could do it. Be a coachee.
Great. So Astrid, tell us. So is there anybody else? I heard Astrid, but I heard another voice. I think it was somebody else. No. Okay, so Astrid, do you want to tell us just briefly, just so that we can make sure that it's the right thing for this demonstration, just tell us a little bit about what you would like to, what your issue is?
Yeah, okay. I'm thinking about a specific situation. I will go within a couple of weeks to Berlin with a friend of mine. And we will meet up with a friend who lives there.
Mm-hmm.
And my issue is really how to be very clear with the message I want to give her, the lady who lives there, without hurting her. Me and my friend would like to really do the touristy thing in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And it's important that my friend who lives there understands that it doesn't mean to go around very quickly in her car. I've been doing that before, and I would like to do this in a different way now.
Okay.
I would like to tell her this, but I'm not so sure how to deliver the message. That's the issue.
Okay. Great. Carly.
Yeah, thanks. That's great. And, I'm think it's great. So let's jump in there, and we'll do this for about 20 minutes. So for others of you, you know, just listen and notice what you notice, and then Karen will do a debrief after. But otherwise, are you ready to dive in, Astrid?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So tell me a little more about it sounded like you had quite a bit of energy in your voice to me, a little tension or something. Can you just tell me a little more about what's driving this particular need to communicate with her?
It's because I'm really looking forward to this trip. My friend who's coming with me, she's looking forward as well. So it's important for me that we get as much out of these almost 4 days that we will have. I've been to Berlin several times before, always meeting the friend who lives there. And some of the visits have been kind of successful, but a couple haven't. And it's been a little bit that I felt, I would have liked to do it another, you know, to see some other things, to do some other things. I've been going along because she's been the hostess, I like her as well. She's fun to be with. We've known each other for a long time. But still, there is a bit of I really like to do this visit differently from the visits before.
Yeah, I sense. So doing it differently than you did before, what do you feel is, what do you want to actually have by the end of our session then?
I would like to have become a little bit clearer about how I would deliver, how I would tell her this, so that I'm truthful to myself. At the same time, it would be great not to make her feel, not marginalized, because we will meet her as well. But I don't want to make her feel like she's been helping us to, we're going to live in the same apartment building as she is, but in a flat separate. And she has made that arrangement for us. There are friends of hers who rent this apartment. So we can use it. And I don't want to make her feel that I'm using her or that I'm not paying attention to her. It's a little bit of a, I like to feel comfortable, I think, at the end of the session with how I'm going to say this to her.
Yes, I understand. That makes sense. So you mentioned what you don't want. You don't want to make her feel marginalized, and you want to feel comfortable being able to say this to her. So what do you want to, what do you want?
What do I want? I want to feel that I can be open during these days to ideas that we can improvise, and I want to feel free, I think, about what's going to happen during these days.
And then I just noticed your energy changed in your voice when you said, I want to be free. Okay. Did you notice that?
Probably, I wasn't really paying attention, but I think when you asked me, I probably felt free when I said it. Free or more free. It was like, I got a bigger space, or I felt I sensed a bigger space in Berlin.
Nice. Bigger space. So what's important to you about a bigger space?
A space means that That I'm free to explore, that I'm free to take the day a bit as it comes, that I will, together with my friend, feel that we don't have to sort of be guided, that we like to sort of guide ourselves. And to do a bit of the touristy things that I haven't done. For example, taking the underground, walking, being among people, you know, in the streets, randomly going into a coffee shop or going into an art gallery, maybe not plan so much.
Mm.
That's the space I think I'd like to have.
Mm. Sounds like you have a lot of clarity about the things you do want and as well as what you don't want.
Yeah, that's true. I've been thinking about this quite a lot.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
You know, the problem is really, well, it's not probably a problem, but I really like, because she's sensitive, this person, we've gone through a bit of hardships with another friend during a holiday when she was catching up things that were not meant to hurt her. And she's a bit sensitive. So I would like this to be good for her as well. But anyway, to be clear about this space that I like to have.
Okay. So that you want to feel comfortable, you want to have this feeling of space. And so what do you feel like would need to address for you to get that by the end of this call?
Well, to address, to get that, yeah, probably, well, I guess I'm after, you know, I'm a sneaky coachee, I'm after some advice. So what should I do with this lady who is nice? I mean, to what level, to what extent can I be completely frank with her? I don't really have to talk about that, you know, remember last time when you were easily hurt, things like that. Of course not. I just like to be very, I'd probably like to feel that I can trust that she will take this just like, you know, as comments about what we like to do, that I feel like I'd like to trust her to sort of, okay, fine, and let's see if we can meet when you have space or something like that.
Mm.
Did this make sense?
Yeah, I'm getting the sense that it's about how you communicate, that you can feel that you can communicate this. I don't know if the word is respectfully, while also trusting that she can hear what you have to say.
Respectfully is a good word, actually. I'd like to be respectful and honest.
Okay.
So it probably those two words, respectful and honest, at the same time.
Okay, they're good. And any other words that come to mind?
Respectful and honest. No, I think those came to mind. I think those are the ones.
Okay. So we need to talk about how to be respectful and honest, and you want to feel comfortable being able to talk to her and to have this big space, this space that you're looking to have while you're traveling in Berlin.
Yeah, so comfortable also, like you said. Respectful and honest and feeling comfortable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like there's anything else in here that we need to pay attention to as we continue to coach?
No, not really.
Okay.
I think that's it.
All right. So if I ask you at the end of the session here, you know, how do you feel? How comfortable do you feel? How do you feel about your honesty and the respect? Mm. Is that the right question to ask you?
Yeah, could be.
Anything else?
No, because asking me that question, it would mean that if I answer, I would have an idea. Maybe not the full recipe, but I would have an idea about, you know, how to think further.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, are you ready to dive in, or is there something else we need to...
No, that's fine. I'm ready to dive in.
Okay, where would you like to dive into?
I think I'd like to first the honest perspective here, the perspective of honesty when I address my expectations to her.
Okay. So, what does honesty mean to you?
Honesty means that I pay attention. I take my own feelings and emotions and values into account, and that I actually respect my own feelings and values. That's honesty.
And how do you do that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. How do I do that? Yeah, I try to follow, like I have an expression, my inner compass. I know when I'm honest. I know when I'm not honest. I mean, I just feel that. So I know when I'm following my inner compass, definitely when I respect my values and I respect myself.
When you say that, I just get a sense of, I don't know, you sounded more grounded or certain of yourself. I'm just wondering, how do you apply that to speaking to your friend, being your inner compass and honest?
I think it would be a shame. I wouldn't be honest if I sort of just went on with, you know, like I've done before, or let her sort of arrange and plan and let's do this and let's do that. And we go to this Italian restaurant and I call some friends and, you know, we're a group of friends who like to meet you and so on. I don't want, we've done that and I'm not interested in that. So my honesty in this case would really be to, you know, to say to her that, you know, really nice of you, but this time we like to do it like this, or we like to do it differently.
Yeah, and now it feels like I want to ask you, how would you say that respectfully?
Yeah, how would I say that? It depends, of course, a little bit on the situation. I mean, we will be in contact by email, and she will maybe offer us a lift from the airport, which is great. I've already talked to my friend here in Stockholm about that, and she said, sure. But then, of course, it depends on a little bit how she is approaching. I think if she has to, I don't have to sort of come out with the explanations about how I want things. I think I rather sit back a bit and see how much I need. This is great. While I'm talking to you now, I think I get a strategy here for myself. I think that it would be a bit strange. I think it would probably not really get to where I want, if I want it, if I start by sort of telling her I want this, I don't want that. It wouldn't be okay. It would indicate something that I don't want her to feel, you know, that don't come here and tell me what to do, which is not really what I want to say. I think I'd rather sit back and see when it's time for me. Yeah, to see when it's time for me to be honest with her in a respectful way.
Sounds like you just got some good awareness and a strategy, as you said.
Yeah, because then it would feel more natural for me. Uh-huh. And I think it would also land better with her if I I sit back a bit and see, she might not even, she's working now. She hasn't been working for a while because she was on sick leave. She's working now. Maybe she is occupied with other things. I mean, it's not sure that she will just stand there and be available, actually. So I might be, I have maybe anticipated a more difficult situation than it will be, actually.
So what's changed now as you have that thought about it not being maybe as
I think difficult? It's less of a problem suddenly, because I don't really know. I'm thinking this is from my point of view. All my thoughts have been going around about this, and I might have created a problem that does not exist. It might be much easier to address, you know, what we would like to do, or, you know, discuss when we could meet or not. It might not be such a problem. The only thing is that I want to keep in mind that I want to follow my inner compass, and when it's, I will be take into account, when I feel now I need actually to be honest, and then I will be it, and I will do it respectfully.
You sound confident to me as you're speaking about this.
I feel kind of confident.
Yeah.
About it, actually, because I see that I made it a problem. It doesn't have to be a problem.
So what new perspective have you now?
My perspective is that I need to keep in mind that I will not go along with things that I'm not interested in, or that my friend doesn't feel like, because she told me she definitely wants to go touristing and to see the sites that one is supposed to see, and you know, do a little bit of everything, take it as it comes. So I just feel that as long as this is clear, or as long as we feel that we can do this, it's not a problem. Really. And we, of course, we can do this. It's just that I don't want to hurt her feelings or anything. But I think that it might not be the case that I have to.
How would you, the whole thing of hurting her feelings, I understand and appreciate your sensitivity and thinking through how the other person might respond or react to your words. I just get a sensitivity in you, though, that is really great. I'm just wondering whether you've had a situation like this before that you've handled really well when you felt you weren't sure how your words would be taken by somebody. And how did it go?
Yeah, I've had plenty of situations like that, I'm sure. And I'm usually quite straight. I've become more straightforward, you know, with age and experience.
that. Yeah.
Sometimes I might even be a bit too straightforward, to be honest with you. But of course, I really want to take other people's feelings into consideration. Yeah, I think I've had. You want me to give you a specific example of a situation when I have? I guess
it's up to you if it helps you to articulate. It's up to you.
I'm thinking about how to find a good situation like that. I was visiting my sister in Gotland. That's an island outside the east coast of Sweden. And my other sister was with me. And one of the sisters, she has a tendency of talking a lot about her job. And that I really can understand. And we were having a long walk last weekend, and she went on and on and on about something. And I had on my tip of my tongue a couple of times to tell, oh, no, this is not so interesting. Let's not, let's talk about something else. But I did not. And at some point, there was something happening on the road. And then I took the opportunity of leading her on to this, whatever it was. I think it was a rabbit or something jumping. No, it was a sheep. And we were talking about that instead. And then she had forgotten about her long description of a case that she had. I don't know if that's a good example, but I think I sort of managed to keep her happy without hurting her feelings. And I was actually, I think by switching to this other thing happening, I think I might have given her a message that, let's move on. I don't know.
Okay. Well, it seemed like it worked. It worked. Yeah. I want to check though with your inner compass and your desire to be honest and respectful. I'm wondering how that plays into your story or how you want to apply it to this situation.
Well, I might not have been super honest with my sister. I was just taking an opportunity to sort of make her change. But I think that honesty really is what counts, because otherwise we would not, I would not, my friend would not feel comfortable. It would be stupid to let this friend decide for us what to do, because it would show our appreciation or whatever. It wouldn't be a good atmosphere. So honesty is the only thing really here. I don't know if I answered your question by this.
So what would you need to do to make sure that you're keeping to your inner compass and being honest?
I just check my feeling really, and then this space could come in, because when I feel this space, when I feel that there is space to improvise, and space in discussions about what to do, where to go, whom to meet, then I think I have my inner compass with me. So as long as I feel that there is space and that there are possibilities, then it's okay.
Sounds like a lovely piece of your inner compass is something around how you relate to space and feel space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. But not necessarily. It could also be how I relate to, how I relate to how I would like to be treated. I'm thinking about if I was her, I wouldn't like, if I had her here in Stockholm, I would think it would be horrible if she went along with my suggestions just to please me. That would be awful. So I'm putting myself in her position. And I would rather appreciate if she said to me, no, Astrid, I think I'd rather go to the castle, and then I would go under the bridges with a boat. I'm not so interested maybe in doing that or that. I would think that would be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, that's good. So you I really get that you're considering both perspectives. You're not just, you're really thinking this through and how it would feel to the other person as well. So what are you learning right now about yourself and this situation?
Ooh, what am I learning? That I'm becoming a wise... I'm learning that being honest is really, it's really the best to keep friendship and to keep good communication going. And I'm also learning that I'm getting less scared of of different opinions, you know, not being so afraid of conflicts. I don't think there will be a conflict. Okay, if we have different opinions, it's fine. I can respect her. I think I can give her the credit that she will respect my ideas and my opinion as well.
So I'm just aware of our time and wondering whether you're okay if we start to just move toward completion here. So how comfortable are you now feeling with having this potential conversation with your friend in Berlin?
I'm feeling much more comfortable, thank you, because I can see that it doesn't have to be an issue. It doesn't have to be so, you know, it doesn't have to be a problem, really. I think I just leave it open and see what happens. And whenever I sense with my inner compass that, okay, I have to be honest now, I will do it. And I will trust that she will respect that and feel okay with it. And if she doesn't feel 100% okay, well, that's her problem. You know, I add that actually.
Great. Anything else that you need in order to feel that you can be honest and respectful?
No, not really. I think I've said, you know, that I, you know, as long as I can meet her when there will be suggestions or ideas that we're not really keen on. As long as I can meet her respectfully and with the honesty, I'm fine. And I think I can. I think I will, actually.
I hear your confidence in your ability to trust that. Trust yourself.
Yeah, I think it will be fine.
Mm-hmm. Good. Is there anything else you need from this conversation?
Do I need anything else? Honesty, trust, feeling comfortable. I liked what you said, that I sounded more grounded. I think that gave me some confidence also. So thanks for that.
Great.
Yeah, it's fine. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Astrid. Thank you very much. I hope you have a wonderful trip to Berlin.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Thank you, Astrid. And Carly, thank you so much for that great demonstration. I'd love to open it up to a bit of a debrief so that those of you who were listening, you know, just to think about, you know, what came up for you, what did you notice about particularly coaching presence, active listening, powerful questions, the way Carly used direct communication, and also how she weaved in the coaching agreement. So I'd love to hear from some of you.
Well, I can start. This is Kristen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Kristen.
Yeah. What I really liked here is, first of all, thank you for the presentation. And I really liked how you put up the presence and the active listening and the communication and the direct communication also as the most important competences, the core competences. And I think you, Carly, showed us that from the beginning, where you right away picked up the energy about how she talked this issue and started out there instead of asking, you know, what you want to talk about today. Thank you. Your was very good, and I also like that you asked, so what do you want from this? Like taking your part of your role as a coach to be able to state the goal for the session and don't leave that. And there's another thing here that I also really liked was that the question you asked, you sounded more grounded. How do you apply that to the situation with your friend? I really like the way you articulated that that question to the listening you have, and also how you formed that question to become a very good question, and also how would you say that respectfully. So you pick up, it's very obvious that you are a good listener, and you can form your listening you can use your good listening to form a powerful questions. And I like the way you appreciated her and how you used the appreciative inquiry at the end here, where you asked her how to if she had any other experiences of being respectful and honest, and also the question here, which I really like too, if it helps you to articulate. Well, I didn't get it also, but also, and also your direct communication where you say what things sounds like for you, that I really liked. So thank you very much. I really enjoyed listening to your MCC, maybe sometimes PCC, but I think it was very good, good for me to listen and learn about more the MCC way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Ina. Very nice demonstration. Thank you very much, Carly. What I particularly liked was the flow and the feeling of lots of time. We only had 20 minutes, but we had the feeling that we had so much time, and you used a lot of time in the beginning before really getting to what she really wanted. So, and just that easy open question, what do you want? It's so easy and yet so powerful. And also the way you checked along with her all the way, how she's doing and how that is, you know, resonates with her, or if that's okay with her. And there was this amazing trust all the time that we can really feel, and that you really dared to not have a clue and just go wherever the flow took you. That was beautiful.
Thank you, Ina. Ina, I'm curious, because you mentioned trust, and we had a question about trust and intimacy, how to create that between PCC and MCC. What was it that was the quality of the trust that Carly created? What was that for you that had you say, wow, there was really trust created?
Good question. I think it was this peacefulness and calm, and the way that Carly just gave her time and really trusted that if she was a little bit, not bubbling because she wasn't really, but when the voice kind of got away with Astrid, she just came back to what was the question or where she needed to come. And Carly was just wonderfully just staying there, being with her.
Yeah, great, lovely. Yeah, it was that spaciousness.
Yes,
spaciousness. Yeah, just that spaciousness and trusting that, you know, the client had her own answers. Because, you know, at PCC level, when Astrid at the beginning of the session said something about, you know, I want to know how to have this conversation with her, at PCC level, a coach might say, okay, well, let's practice that conversation. What are you going to say? What are you going to... But Carly didn't go there. She really stuck to the who of the client and explored the client's thinking and feeling and world and what that meant to her. And by that... by engaging at that level, Astrid, suddenly you heard it in her energy, like, oh, I'm making this more than I need to. Oh,
yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Ina. Thank you for mentioning that.
And also a beautiful way of checking in with her. Did you notice that when she had a shift, for instance?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we have time for one more comment. Or yeah, roughly one or two.
This is Magnus.
Yes.
Sorry.
Is it Magnus?
Yes, but yeah. There was another one.
That's all right. Yes. You go first, Magnus, and then we'll have the next person go.
Okay. So this is what I noticed that I don't do today. You said I'm sensing saving energy change. And that was, you also said that, is there something more that you need before we go on? I normally don't do that, and that was very useful. And you said something that I never said. Was this the right question? Mm-hmm. And you said, so what do we need to accomplish in this coaching session? And you said that after a while. So that is something that I take home with me. Thank you.
Yeah, so this is Karen. It was Carly who coached. But I love what you said, Magnus, is that Carly did a lot of exploring with the client before she ever actually asked that question, well, what do you want out of the session today? So if you notice from the beginning, she was exploring with the client, and that's also part of MCC skill level is, you know, at PCC, we're more linear of asking, so what do you want to work on today? What measures of success do you want? So it's a more step-by-step. And if you notice what Carly did so effectively is that she really worked with the client and what was going on for her and before she actually said, oh, okay, so well, what would you like to get out of today if we talked about this? Oh, great. Thank you, Magnus. And there was one other person who wanted to speak.
Yes. Hi, this is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
I really liked the way she picked up on the client's language. Specifically, the question, what is important to you about bigger space, which opens up for the client's values, as well as opening up for the client's reflecting on her own identity. Who am I as a person?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Paul. So, yeah, notice that in this demonstration, it was an exploration. It wasn't a linear coaching. It was an exploration of the client, who they are, how they think, how she thinks, how she views the world, how she's operated in the past, how she can use that learning or what she knows about herself to be true in this situation. And so it really had nothing to do with the problem. It really had to do with how she was operating. Yeah, so it's that space of exploration and spaciousness.
And just to comment, thank you. That's really they're all excellent comments. And Karen, you know your debrief is excellent. The thing that I want to say is that I am seeking to understand what the true agreement for the client is. And so it looks like it's maybe first of all about how to deliver the information to the client, to the person, but it really becomes how do I do that in a way that feels right for me at the right time, mm-hmm. and trusting myself to do that. And what happens is when you explore a little more, but it's clear you're still seeking to understand what the client wants from the session, you're actually coaching the client to clarity all the way. So you are using your active listening, your powerful questioning, your direct communication as you're going about establishing what the focus is. And again, a measure of success for this session was comfortable. How comfortable, and I could have asked also how free the client felt, because that came up. But I don't have to know on a scale of 1 to 10 how comfortable do you feel now. I trust my client to know how she feels now about comfort. And then if I ask her at the end, which I did, how she feels then, because her inner compass is, she knows how that feels to her. So it's not necessary for me to ask her on a scale of 1 to 10, which is a common ACC-PCC skill level question. So, yeah, thanks for all your great noticing and your debrief, Karen.
Great, absolutely. So I see that we're up against time. So I just want to thank everybody for being here today. If you'd like to hear more of upcoming programs, please go to thementorcoachinggroup.com or to carlyanderson.com. And Astrid, if maybe we could get your email, because...
I think we're fine. We've got, that permission's already. But yeah, okay, no, go on. Say what you're going to say. I know what you're offering now.
Yes, that's okay. We're going to offer you the target approach. Carly has
audio-visual program.
Audio-visual, thank you, an audio-visual program that we'd like to send you for volunteering today. So thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you so much. It was actually a pleasure to be a coachee, Carly. Great coaching. You made me really explore, and you gave me the space, which was great, because I need that. I talk a lot sometimes, but by talking, I'm thinking aloud. So you gave me the space, and you let me explore, and fantastic.
Great.
Coaching presence.
Thanks, Astrid. Thank you very much for being the person who stepped up today. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. All right. From the organizers, are there any last comments or thoughts that you'd like to give to the group before we close? Pavi? Anybody? If not, then we wish you all, for all of you, it's going into your late afternoon and evening. I'm going to go and have lunch. Carly's probably going to have breakfast. Thank you, everybody.
Yes, thank you. Have a great evening.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.